And in our study of Jeremiah, we have found Jeremiah is, year after year now, is doing and fulfilling God's will and warning and seeking to awaken the heart of the people of Jerusalem and Judah. Nebuchadnezzar is going to come down once, 605, and he's going to come down again, 597. That's when Ezekiel is taken into captivity. And then he comes down in 586, and that's when he destroys the city. Now, so here they are, reading along. And God, you've given us all this information. Now, a little bit that would help us going back in time. When Lucifer, son of the morning, sinned, and then he got the angels to go along with him, many of them. And in the process, you have now a problem in the holy, righteous world of God. Now, what are we going to do? God already knew, God already designed and planned and designed us. He designed them to have choice, and they chose, some did for good, some for bad. Now, we got to work that out. So then we're created on planet Earth, Adam and Eve. And Adam and Eve, thus the devil came along and got a hold of the mind and heart of Eve. And in the process of that, taking hold of that, Eve sinned, Adam sinned. And now we got the angel problem. And now we got human problem. It has to be resolved in God's wonderful, glorious wisdom and way. Therefore, when we move through history from Genesis to the end, what are we doing? We're looking at the outworking of that which needs to be solved. It's always a problem, a problem, a problem, a problem, a problem, a problem. Always going, some problem, because the sin problem isn't solved. The sin problem continues. So we've got to solve the sin problem. So if you lived on planet Earth, anywhere in past or into the future, the problem is things aren't good, things are not good, things are going downhill. God allows space for things to develop, things to show up what they are, and then the next nation shows up how bad it is, and then God removes the nation to another nation, and that nation, and then another nation, and God lets it work out. So it's all going down. That's important. Because we're on planet Earth, we would like it to go up. We would like to have a good something ahead. Now, how are you going to have a good something ahead? Well, it isn't. It isn't going to be. But we hope that. Israel, Jerusalem, Judah hoped that it wouldn't be. Hoped that it would be going and on and on and on. Children, grandchildren, everything was good. Now, in the light of that, Jeremiah chapter 17, remember now, the people are insisting, persisting, and pursuing a total disregard for God. And you can't totally disregard God. You don't want to do that. And that's what they were doing. And in the process, they chose over to chapter 17, verse 5, they chose the negative. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. And he'll be like a bush in the desert, all dry, all dead, no nourishment, no life around him whatsoever. Now, and they chose that. They chose that to be cursed and not blessed. Now, and that's what they've chosen. That course, that direction, that's where they're going. Now, in the process of that, they're going to go, it will help maybe, they chose Israel, Judah, Jerusalem. They chose to go against. Now, did they like Jeremiah? No. Do you like anybody that gives you bad news? You don't like anybody that gives you bad news. And if they keep giving you bad news and you don't like it, you get mad sometime. You walk away. So God, that's common persons. That's us, humans. So now, the Israel, Jerusalem, they remember now they're going to mock. They mock Jeremiah as a false prophet. They scoff at his warnings. He warns them judgment's coming, and they didn't want to hear it. And they, where is the judgment? Where is the judgment? And so they said. Now, in the light of that, his family, friends, Jeremiah is not well received, understandably. Over to chapter 5 for a moment, coming back. Jeremiah and chapter 5. And picking up, if I may, picking up the mood, the movement that's been going on week after week, month after month, year after year, and only getting deeper. Chapter 5, verse 11. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine. So everything that Jeremiah is pointing to, they don't believe that. And we shared together that little verb when we did this in verse 12. They have belied. It means to lessen, to deny, to take down. It means a big giant, and we're going to shrink the giant. And we're going to shrink the giant. We're going to make God man-sized. We're going to shrink him. We don't like God in this holy... That's why people can speak against God and do whatever, because we got a God that's man-sized, and we can handle him. We can't handle the living God, infinite, invisible, ever-present. We can't do that. So we shrink God down. That's what they did. That's how we get away. That's how they got away with it. That's how they did it. Chapter 6, and in verse 10, to whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Behold, their ear is uncircumcised, and they cannot hearken. Behold, the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach. They have no delight in it. They aren't interested in what God is saying. They aren't interested in what Jeremiah thus is saying. They don't want to hear that. They don't want to read it. They don't want to go back and read Isaiah. They don't want to do any of that 100 years ago. They don't want to do that. So now, chapter 17. And in chapter 17, remember now, so the Israelites in Jerusalem and that, they're going, where is the promise of his coming, his friends, etc., and this jeering at them, word jeering, J-E-N-E-E-R, is to grin like a dog. If you ever see a dog, see called grin. To grin like a dog, jeering, making fun, ridiculing. So in chapter 17 and in verse 15, behold, they say unto me, said Jeremiah, where is the Lord? Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Now, so think of people saying, the little story, the wolf, wolf, cry, wolf, wolf, wolf. And when he cried falsely, and no one listened. And finally, one day, there really was a wolf, and they didn't do anything, and the wolf ate the sheep, etc. Now, Jeremiah, you're yelling. Warning. That's what you're doing. Where? Let it happen. Show us. Make it happen. Make it happen. Where is it? Where is the warning? A storm's coming. A storm's coming. I don't see a storm. Show me the storm. Don't keep talking about a storm. We don't want to hear that. And that's what you're doing. Now, that's the verse 15. Where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. Let it come now. Let it come and be fulfilled. In the light of all the false prophets, peace, when there is no peace. But let it come. Let the message show me. Show us. Show us. Show us. Now, so their message, the false prophets get along quite well. Because the false prophets are seeking, and the priests, are seeking to gain the mind and heart of the people. They don't want Jeremiah to have it. They want to have it. The people in every religions and everything, what do you want? You got a business, a group, a club, and the meaningfulness of it, the power of it, is it that makes it real is people. If you have no people, no adherence, then is it true if no one's there? So we got to have people. That's why the cults, everyone has to draw people, get people to your thought, to your feeling, to whatever it is, to support us. Truth doesn't need to be supported, but error does. Unbelief does. And so here they are, and they're looking. They're looking to get the people to, they say peace, peace, as we'll see, when there is no peace. They're going to go and do all of that in a most wonderful way. Now, in the process of that, picking up, if I may, in chapter 17, behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. So now, having said that, let it come. Now, so in the light of that, and remember now, people to join up, to side with them. Now, so therefore, in the light of that, and Jeremiah is understanding what they are not understanding. Chapter 17, and in verse 9, the heart is deceitful and desperate above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Now, who can know the heart? Well, who can know the heart? That's the point. God said it's a heart problem. So it isn't a simple little problem of good fruit, bad fruit, good things, bad things. No, it's the heart, and the heart doesn't go by that. The heart's choosing that which is more than what you're looking at. It's their relationship to God, and there it's a negative. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Now, and so Jeremiah knows that. The people aren't aware of that, and they are rejecting the Lord quite comfortably. Remember in chapter 17, picking up in verse 13, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. And they just have left God totally out of the picture. And you'll remember now the problem, stated right up front, hold your finger here, chapter 2 again, chapter 2 tells us the problem. For my people, verse 13, 2 and 13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters. And that's what you got back over in chapter 17 again, verse 13, the fountain of living waters. So the problem is they've left God totally out of the picture, and they have chosen, as we said, to be as a dried up bush, cursed, not blessed, in the middle of the desert. Now, having said that, and now, make it happen, make it happen. Well, it doesn't. The world system doesn't work quite like that. So remember Noah. Noah went, and God, in his wonderful grace, gave 120 more years to the people that were living on earth. And 120 more years they had. And they could have counted 1, 2, 3, 4, and kept a little calendar or a note of the years if they did, but they didn't. And Noah preached, was a preacher of righteousness, and he didn't walk around and go everywhere among them. He had one job to do, to build the ark. And in building the ark, he was a preacher of righteousness in 2 Peter. So that's what he did. He didn't go around, because he took wood and everything, but he didn't go all over the world trying to figure everything out. He built that ark. Now, and so building the ark, and then Isaiah comes along, and Isaiah with the 10 tribes up there in the north, and the Assyrians are going to come along, and they are warned, and they are warned, and they are warned. And then 722 comes, and the Assyrians come. So God, you always give a space, warning, space, warning, Nebuchadnezzar, Babylon, space, warning, space, warning. It comes to the end. Everything moving, moving, not up, but down. And thus Jerusalem, 586 AD. And if you went back, our Lord said it. Our Lord was going to be crucified. And he said, hey, by just a little bit from now, 70 AD, Rome is going to come in and level this city like nobody. Level this whole city. And take you all captive. Whatever. And kill a whole pile. Wow. And the Christians had to sneak across the Jordan over there to survive. They knew Nebuchadnezzar, they couldn't beat Nebuchadnezzar. So Christians got across the Jordan when Titus came in order to save themselves. Now, so here we are, 70 AD, and they were told, warning, and it was coming and coming and coming. Now, and God, you tell us that. I need that to make sure I understand it, because otherwise I tend to want to have this, it's good day, and then it's this. We don't want it to be this. We'd like it to be this, but it's this. It ain't good. You got Korea, you got Iran, you got Iraq, you got Russia, you got Syria. I mean, Venezuela, wow, Cuba, you got the whole thing. So God, it isn't getting, no, it isn't any better. So now, God, chapter 24, if I can, of Matthew, reminding us, our Lord's always doing it, and we need to see it. And the Israelites in Jerusalem don't want to see it. They don't want to understand. They don't want to know. You can understand that. Why do they want to know? You don't want to know bad news, you know. People say, if you just knew the future, right? Ever hear that? If you could just tell me my future, all right, in X days, you're going to die. Now what? Or in X days, you're going to be treated for cancer. Do you want to know? Oh, yeah, I'll get ready. No, no, no. The trouble is that creates even more problems for us because we're trying to handle the problem that's down there. And you can't handle the problem down there. You can't handle Matthew chapter 6 and 7:1. You can't handle tomorrow's problem today. You can't live tomorrow until you get there. That's the rule. And when you try to live tomorrow and you lose understanding of today, how are you going to enjoy today when you're trying to live tomorrow? You can't do that. So here we are looking, history, and here's Matthew chapter 24, our Lord warning them. 24:21. In the middle of the a great discourse, Matthew 24 and 25, before his crucifixion. For then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world. To this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake those days shall be shortened to 7 years. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false prophets, false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Therefore, if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, and to go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it. I'm going to all kinds of things are coming, and don't believe them. Verse 27. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And then you slide over, as you know, to verse 36. But of that, I'll read verse 35. The heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. So what I tell you is going to happen. And I'm not crying wolf, wolf, wolf. I'm not crying wolf. I'm not doing that. I'm telling you what's going to happen. Heaven and earth are going to pass away before my words are not true. Verse 36, But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days of were before the flood, which we just looked at, 120 years, and they never thought it would ever rain, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. In other words, they carried on their normal lifestyle, having pizza and doing everything that you do. Verse 39, And they knew not, N-O-T, until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So God, all right, come, God. What's the sense in coming, saying, come, 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 but you don't come? 2 Peter chapter 3. And may I pick up, please, in thought, I'll read it quickly. Chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance. What about what? That you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, then, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. That's what they thought. That's what they did. They scoffed at Jeremiah, scoffers walking after their own lusts, and what are they going to say? Saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning. It's always been the same. Just evolution, it just slides along and evolve. There's never been a Genesis flood, etc., which we shared. The Incas, the Mayas, the Aztecs, they all have records of great disaster. Everyone does. In the history, go way back. That's what they got. Well, they know it. They all different. It's twisted in all kinds of ways. Now, verse 5. But for this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of the Lord God, the God of the heavens, were of old the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Well, they said it would never perish, but it did perish. Where's the rain? Where's the rain? Where's the judgment of God? It wasn't. Where is the judgment of God in Jerusalem? It isn't. It isn't there. It isn't to be found. And while you're on that and you're in this part of God's Word, you're right next door. John, 1 John chapter 2 of relating to it for us, because I want to get something if I can. First John chapter 2, picking up, if I may, in verse 28, directly, in the light of the context. And now, little children, abide in him, Christ. When He shall appear. We may have confidence because we're resting, looking for His coming. We may have confidence, boldness, and we are not ashamed and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. So what are we doing? We're waiting for His coming. We're looking for the Lord's coming. And then, now what's happened in history? What do you know? History. The church. What's happening? Back in the 40s, people were looking for His coming. It was a great prophetic time. And they were looking for it. Wow. Reading the prophecy, the United States of Europe and everything. Wow. Back then, a long time ago. Looking for His coming. The 50s, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s. Where's His coming? Where's His coming? And you know what? No one thinks about it, talks about it, or believes it. What's new? Nothing's new. Same old humans, they don't believe. And that was the incentive. That's if you're saved, that's the incentive you have to get out of bed, go to work, and all kinds of things, good, bad, easy, hard, much, little. That's why you hang in there and go through stuff, ordinary, boring, and exciting, and unexciting. You do it because you're looking for His coming at any moment. And by the way, when you close the Word of God, Revelation 22, you're going to say something to us. 22, Revelation 22. And you will know, please, in verse 20, 22:20 of our Lord, He which testifieth these things saith, surely, surely, I come, I, present tense, I come, I am coming quickly. Amen. Even so, come, present tense, Lord Jesus. That's how it ends. After you've said everything, God, you understand the last thing you want to know and the first thing you want to think of, I'm coming. And that's the incentive, the motivation, the blessed hope, how we handle things. That's how you have hope. Because you understand this isn't it. And tomorrow you may not make it for a lot of reasons, but for hopefully the Lord come. We're not going to get down the end of that corridor. And that is the expectation so that we go down and we can handle things. Otherwise, they start piling up and piling up. And we lose out. We lose out on it. Now, having said that a little bit, back over to Jeremiah and chapter 17. And you will understand, I hope, a little better the statement made in verse 15, chapter 17. Behold, they're saying to Jeremiah, where is the word of the Lord? Let it now come. Let it be fulfilled. Show us. Show it. And if you can't show us, shut up. Don't talk to us. Don't say any more. Go away. That's what they want. That's what people want. Well, the warning. You're warning. Every time, I assume you all go to the dentist at least once every 7 years or so. No, depending on you get a toothache or something. And when you go. And in the process of it, your wonderful system in the saliva and digestive juices and all of that. And in the process of that, you get plaque, isn't it? Called plaque, flack, or something. And you get that. And you have to go every now and then, depending on everyone's metabolism and stuff. You go and get that chipped off or something, and don't you? You get it off. So wow. Think of elephants that have four sets of teeth, and they have them fairly soon, and then if they live to be 100, think of the plaque that would be on their teeth after all that time. Well, that's just a side thought. I knew you'd be interested in that. Did you know elephants had four sets of teeth? Okay. You only have two. Now, in the process, I want you to, God, go away. God isn't going away. The word is true. What's going to happen is going to happen. If we went back to Peter, what do you know? I'm patient with you, long-suffering towards believers in order that people can get saved. God, long-suffering with us, the people can get saved. Otherwise, he'd wipe us out and there's no testimony. And the next thing right in there, know you not that 1,000 years are but a what? One day with God. Oh God, I waited a whole week. Really? I waited a whole year. Really? Wow. God said, hey, my clock isn't your clock. I don't go by a clock. I go by everything that's already set up. And you need to know that. So that's why you have the little word that we don't like sometime, spoken again and again, called W-A-I-T. Wait on the Lord and be of good courage. Wait. But, wait. But I can't. God, are you going to fail? Never. Never. We're going to come boldly to the throne of grace, that you're going to do everything in the right order, and we're looking to you and waiting on you to do it. Now, so there they are. That's their thinking, and that's what they're doing to Jeremiah. Now, Jeremiah is having to is responding to all of this that he's facing year after year, understandably. And so here he is saying, over if I can, in chapter 17 of Jeremiah, verse 14. Heal me, that's a command. God, I'm looking to you, God, to do it. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. That means passive. I'm looking to you to heal me, and when you do it, it's going to happen. I'm going to be healed because you do it. And save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. So God, here we are. Here's Jeremiah looking. He needs and understands the healing, and the word healing there, to bind a room, a wound, to put on a bandage, to heal, restore is the word. Now, Jeremiah is looking for him, God, to do something in his heart, to do something with him. And we need to understand that, because he's getting bombarded. You get worn out. You get worn out in it all. You can't, if you could just join the club and join the crowd and go to the happy hour and have fun. If you could just do that. They do it. You aren't doing it. No, because you got saved from that. So we aren't doing that. No. But if you could do it, then we could just go through life like everybody else. But no, you can't do that either, because you know that isn't the way to go. Therefore, Jeremiah understands this. Heal me, and I shall be healed. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, to bind a wound, and the prophet and priest, remember, over to chapter 6, if I can. And if I, picking up, please, directly, the priest and the prophet, verse 13, sliding to verse 14. 6:14. They have healed, there's your word, also the hurt of the daughter, the wound, the hurt of the daughter of my people, slightly. saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. They're going to go and try to fix the hurt, the wound. They're trying to fix it. They're trying to heal the wound by saying, it isn't too bad. It isn't too bad. The cut's just a little cut. That's all. We'll take care of it. All we have our stuff. It isn't anything we can't handle. And so they have peace, peace, when there is no peace. And the people are encouraged. People are encouraged. They put on the bandage and they put the little stuff on. And it's all right. Everything's going to be okay. But it isn't. And they know that. Now, over, if you would, again, chapter 8. Chapter 8, if I can, in verse 11. And you'll see it, of the prophet and priest again, sliding down, verse 10, verse 11. 8, 11. For they have healed, there's your verb, the hurt, the wound of the daughter of my people, slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Were they ashamed when they had committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed, neither could they blush. Therefore shall they fall among them that fall. In the time of their visitation, they shall be cast down, saith the Lord, etc. They're going to lose. Now, they keep saying, you keep listening to the wrong people that are saying good and good and good is coming. But no, it can't come because the world isn't the world doesn't have a mindset for good. Everyone's got 18 different things, and they don't get along with God, the Creator, who can make it happen. God, you're the God of peace. We can't have peace without you, and if we go against you, we're your enemy, and we're at war with you. We aren't at peace with you. We're at war with you in our heart, and we don't want that. We don't want that at all. Now, so having said that, over, if you would, please. Oh, we get a little bit. Over to Exodus. I'm going to take the word healing, and I want you to get the movement so you can see it for yourself. We won't get very far, but a little. Exodus, if I can, chapter 15. And you remember as Israel entered the wilderness on their way to Mount Sinai, they needed 2.5 million people, plus animals, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they needed water in a desert. And the water they came to was bitter. Now, God had a lesson for them. The water didn't have to be bitter at all. He was the fountain of living waters. And he would make water come out of the rocks like a river, like a flood into the desert. So it wasn't a question of that. You're trying to help them. God tries to help us. And you say, well, this is such a... But it doesn't come out that way simply because we're learning about ourselves and about life and about God's grace and mercy that bears with us. So now, here in Exodus chapter 15, remember now, God did it, verse 25, and he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, Moses, and when he had cast it into the waters, the waters were made sweet, and there he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he put them to the test and proved them. Now, God, what were you after? Verse 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and give ear to his commandments, and keep his statutes, and put none of these I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have put upon the Egyptians. Why not? I am the Lord. And why not? I am the Lord that healeth thee. There's your word. I am the one who heals you. I am the one who heals you. A little bit, we may not get there. God said, I am your healer. I am your health. I am your healer. I am the one. I heal you. Your healing, say it easy, your healing is me. That's awesome. Wow. Now, and so, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And now, having that's an awesome, remember now, and you know, there's a whole medical book written on it. You have it? On medicine, going way back, and it goes back to Israel in it, and shows that Israel had a remarkable history because they never had any disease, they never had any problems, they never had any pharmacy, they didn't take any pharmaceutical equipment or formulas. Egyptians had all of them. They had wonderful medical stuff. They even had so that they could embalm. They could keep your body and preserve it and have it for a monument, as it were, for a while. Wow. But Israel never took anything. That's right. That's right. They didn't. Now, over to chapter 7, Deuteronomy. In chapter 7, may I pick up directly in verse 14. Thou shalt be blessed above all people. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. And the Lord shall take away from thee all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of Egypt, which thou knowest, upon thee, but will lay them upon all them that hate thee. So Israel is immune, exempt from all problems, all of it. Wow. All sickness. They never got sick. Never needed anything. Did they ever need something? Aspirin? No. Didn't have any aspirin. Wow. And the shoes never wore out? They're nothing. Their clothes never? Wow. God, you did that. That's right. Chapter 32. Chapter 32, picking up in verse 37. And he shall say, where are their gods and their rock in whom they trust? In other words, Israel is going to be trusting their idolatry, which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. In other words, let your idols, your trusting in whatever system, then look to that. Look to that. You want that to save you? You want that to heal you? Then look to that. That's what you want to do, and that's what God lets the world do. And the world's busy doing it, trying to figure out Obamacare and all kinds of stuff. And the disaster of that, I wish they'd go and say that a little more publicly so everyone would know what Obamacare really is going to be shortly. Tell people. Would someone stop telling it it's terrible? It's bad. This is what's going to happen. Do you understand? This is what's going to happen. And as we watch it happen, maybe the public would wake up and say, hey, you see. But we don't tell them. Verse 38, 39. See now, remember now, they're looking to their idols to help them instead of God. And verse 39, see now that I, even I, am he, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, I heal, there's your word. Neither is there any that can deliver me, can deliver out of my hand. Do you understand? God, you are in control. That's right. All the evil and all the troubled things, I allow that to happen. I allowed Satan to sin, the angels to sin. I allowed Adam and Eve to sin. I allowed you to be born in sin. Now, I did that. I allowed that in my grace, knowing I'm going to give you a remedy and a solution. You just need to believe me and trust me and know me. Now, so in the light of that, God, you allow everything to happen, So therefore, God, shouldn't I be trusting you Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday in the midst of the ordinary coming and going? Absolutely. And when things get a little bumpy and I don't understand, should I keep trusting you? That's right. When things look like it's all going to crash, should I keep trusting you? That's right. That's right. I heal you. Not only that, Jeremiah 17, I save you. I heal you and save you. Do you understand? I'm the boss. And you're trying to separate. You're trying to separate your little life from God's. And you can't do that. Can't do that. God, so here we are. God, you're in control of the whole thing. And this word wound, we don't have time to do that. Over, if you would, let do it a little differently. Go over with me, please, to Psalm 41. Psalm 41. And you'll notice, please, David is going to give us some help. I'll read verse 1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord delivereth him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive, and he shall be blessed upon the earth, and thou wilt not deliver him into the will of his enemy. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, sickness, illness, and will make, turn, adjust all his bed and his sickness. God may not do, make you well, boom, fix like, no, God may let things happen for a while, and God may do that, but God said, listen, even when I do that, I want you to know, while you're on the bed, and you can't get up, and you got all the problems, I want you to know, as a good nurse, I'll come and make all the adjustments so that you don't get bed sores, and turn around, I'll fix you. I'll adjust you. I won't heal you yet. I can heal you, but not yet. Not yet. But I'm going to let it happen, and I'm going to take care of you in the process. That's something sort of nice, isn't it? God, you take care of me. Take care of us. Uh-huh. That's right. And thus, verse 4, I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. That's the only thing you can say, David, right? And here's your verb, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee. Now, David, you're very conscious, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. I am. If I say I have no sin, 1 John 1, 8, and 8, 9, and 10. If I say I have no sin, I deceive myself, I make God a liar. So I'm not going to stop and give that kind of stuff. Now, chapter 42, Psalm 42. Remember now, as the heart panteth after the water brook, etc., God is a fountain of living water. You should seek him with all your heart so you don't end up being dry and dead and dreary and dull. Verse 2, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and peer before him? God, I'm looking to you. My tears have been through it. Been my meat day and night, God, while they continually say unto me, what's the busy world saying all the time? Where is your God? Make it happen, or shut up. See? Where is your God? You have a God, you're looking for his coming, he's taking care of you, look at you. That's when you say, you give a reason for the hope that's within you with thanksgiving. No matter what they say, you could be bleeding to death. God's a great God. God's a great God. Now, and thus, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with a multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise. God, I'm going to come to your house, to you, for your wonderful care, and I will praise and praise with a multitude that kept holy day. Oh God, we're all seeking you. That's how our country was founded. Verse 4. And when I remember these things, I pour out my soul. Now, sliding down, verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? My soul. Remember the chapter in the other one. Where is God? Where is your God? And I'm going to look, God, heal my soul. Uh-huh. And God, I'm going to look to you. My soul is cast down. I don't want to be down. Why art thou disquieted, all upset, anxious inside of me? God, I don't want to be like that. Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him for the help, for the healing, health, healing, saving of his countenance, of his face. So God, here we are. And Jeremiah, what are you saying? If God, I got to look to you. The only way I can stay fresh and full and flourishing, God, is to look to you. If I look anywhere else, it drains me. It drains everything out of me. I have nothing left. God, I'm looking for you to heal me. God, come in there and make sure I don't get like that. God, I know you can do it. Therefore, you are the help of my... God, I'm looking to you. You gave full assurance that you're able to heal. You're the God who heals. Therefore, verse 11, why art thou cast down on my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I will yet praise him. Only this time, who is the health, the word help in verse 5, health in verse 11, health, healing, saving, the health, the healing of my, the help, I should say the help, the health of my face, my countenance. Countenance is the word face, and my God. So God, I look to you, and instead of getting down, I went up. And so instead of getting drained, I was flourishing, full. I didn't get drained at all. I had your wonderful grace and your wonderful mercy to deal with my heart. And God, that was an awesome thing.